I'm used to the idea of dying, but I have no desire to die for the likes of you.
Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talk about a revolution.
Startling new numbers out on a growing terrorist watch list in the U.S. USA Today reporting the list now has 1 million entries. That's up 32% since 2007.
This week in radical history for the week starting March 16th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer, and radical info can be found at the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website.
Yo, check this out, man.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This week in radical history for March 16th, 1811, the Luddites attack machines designed to replace them. The Luddites were a social movement of British textile artisans in the early 19th century who protested, often by destroying mechanized looms, which they felt were leaving them out of work. Since then, however, the term Luddite has been commonly used to describe anyone opposed to technical progress or technical change. Also for March 16, 1933, the last anarcho-syndicalist newspaper, the FAUD, is ordered shut down in Germany. It was started as a union paper for the unemployed in Dresden, and his last journalistic holdout against the Nazi Party. Also on this date in 1965, Alice Herz, an 82-year-old activist, pacifist, immolates herself on a Detroit street corner at the campus of Wayne State University to protest the Vietnam War. Also on this date in 1988 in Iraq, massacre of the Kurds with mustard and nerve gases, which the U.S. and European weapons and chemical companies supplied. Also on this date, 2003, U.S. peace activist Rachel Corrie is killed by the Israeli military.
An Israeli bulldozer killed poor Rachel Corrie as she stood in its path in the township of Rafa. She lost her young life in an act of compassion, trying to protect the poor people of Gaza, whose homes are destroyed by tank shells and bulldozers, and whose plight is exploited by suicide bombers who kill in the name of the people of Gaza. But Rachel Corrie believed in non-violent resistance, put herself in harm's way as a shield of the people, and paid with her life in a manner most brutal.
Rachel was killed by an Israeli military bulldozer made by Caterpillar Company in the United States while she is participating in a nonviolent movement protesting Israel's illegal 36-year occupation of the Palestinian territories, and specifically trying to save a Palestinian doctor's home from destruction. Eyewitnesses say that Rachel was negotiating with the driver for over 2 hours, was using a blowhorn and wearing a fluorescent orange vest. The driver knew where she was, but ran over anyways.
Rachel Corrie had 23 years. She was born in the town of Olympia, Washington, a skinny, messy, list-making chain smoker who volunteered to protect the Palestinian people who had become non-persons in the eyes of the media, so that people were suffering and no one was seeing.
The following is a short outtake of Rachel in a fifth grade presentation, and also an interview of her right before she's assassinated in Palestine. Rachel Corrie, presente.
My dream can and will come true if we all look into the future and see the light that shines there. I'm here for other children. I'm here because I care. I'm here because children everywhere are suffering, and because 40,000 people die each day from hunger. I'm here because those people are mostly children. We have got to understand that the poor are all around us and we're ignoring them. We have got to understand that these deaths are preventable. We have got to understand that people in third world countries think and care and smile and cry just like us. But we've got to understand that they are us. We are them.
This is definitely the most difficult situation that I've ever seen. In the time that I've been here, children have been shot and killed. On the 30th of January, the Israeli military bulldozed the two largest water wells, destroying over half of Rafah's water supply. Every few days, if not every day, businesses are demolished here. People are economically devastated because of the closure of the borders into Egypt and the extreme control of the Gazan economy by Israel. I came to look at the aftermath of a place where 25 greenhouses had been demolished on the other side of Rafah, destroying the livelihoods of about 300 people. And that had taken place while they rounded up about 150 men, held them under a sniper tower, and shot around them to contain the men, the farmers in the area. So I feel like what I'm witnessing here is a very systematic destruction of people's ability to survive, and that is incredibly horrifying.
And turn Rachel Curry into a non-person. Oh, but you philosophize disgrace, criticize all fears. Bury the rag deep in your face, 'cause now is the time for your tears.
Lastly on a state in 2006. My name is Rachel Curry. A one-act play due to open this month at New York Theater Workshop was canceled 6 weeks ago under Jewish lobby pressure in New York. This week in Radical History for March 17th. German-American anarchist Johann Most dies in Cincinnati on this date in 1906. Most, perhaps best known for his thoughts and promotion of the idea of propaganda of the deed, which promotes insurrection and perhaps revolution.
This is your Radio News reporter, Crystal Graham. On this day, March 17th, in 1912, American civil rights activist Bayard Rustin was born in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Rustin's political organizing career was very dynamic. Throughout his life, he protested and campaigned against segregation laws, fought an alliance with the Japanese Americans in U.S. internment camps, organized against British rule in India and Africa, and advocated for gay rights. After adopting a strict nonviolent philosophy, Rustin counseled civil rights icon Martin Luther King Jr. and helped form the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, from which he was later forced to resign because he was openly gay. Due to his sexuality, Rustin was largely written out of civil rights history, and his enormous influence was heavily silenced. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you to never let the past slip away.
Also on March 17th, more white justice in 1934. Thousands of blacks battled the police in New York to protest the Scottsboro trial. The Scottsboro trial originally were 9 young black defendants, some of them were minors, accused of gang raping 2 fellow hobo white women on a freight train. 8 were quickly convicted in a mob atmosphere at trial. The juries were entirely white, their attorneys had little experience of criminal law, and the judge gave them no time to prepare for their cases. As each case went to the jury, the judge would start the next trial while the previous jury was still deliberating. All but one of these black defendants were sentenced to death on rape convictions. Also March 17th, 2 quick items, 1960. President Eisenhower authorizes secret training of Cuban exiles for an invasion into Cuba. And in 1988, U.S. soldiers are sent to Honduras to protect American interests. This week in Radical History for March 18th. In 1871, the Paris Commune begins. For 2 months, Paris was governed by anarcho-syndicalists, local citizens groups known as communes. These lower middle-class folk, disenfranchised because of the war and the ever-increasing disparity between the bourgeoisie class governing from Versailles and the working folk on the streets of Paris. The German-backed Versailles government forces would eventually overrun the Commune's National Guard units. In all, perhaps 30,000 people died, 50,000 imprisoned or executed, and it was reported that well over 7,000 was sent in exile. The Paris Commune of 1871.
On this day, March 18th, in 1969, during the Vietnam War, the U.S. Air Force initiated Operation Menu and began bombing Cambodia. Despite Cambodia's official declaration of its neutrality, South Vietnamese liberation troops often used Cambodia as a base. After being warned by the U.S. to ban the South Vietnamese from their soil, the neutral country of Cambodia became the target for this massive secret bombing campaign under President Richard Nixon. Over the next 14 months, the U.S. military showered more bombs on Cambodia than the total amount dropped by the Allies during all of World War II. These brutal bombings were hidden from the American public, but the information eventually leaked out, provoking public outrage in the U.S. And then the government vowed to never bomb civilians again.
This week in Radical History for March 19th, 1935, over 100 injured and $2 million worth of white property destroyed as riots break out in Harlem after a black man's eye is gouged out by policemen. New York City Mayor LaGuardia later refuses to release the study which blamed the violence on the police brutality. Also in New York in 1970, 200 women seized the New York offices of Lady Holmes Journal, demanding that they rename the magazine Women's Liberation Journal. The protest was led by groups like the National Organization of Women, Red Stockings New York Radical Feminist, and Older Women's League.
On this day, March 20th in 1620, the Dutch East India Company was established by a group of Dutch merchants and independent trading companies, marking the beginning of their 21-year monopoly over the spice trade in East Asia. They forcefully colonized any territory they desired and often enslaved the indigenous people. Many countries like Indonesia and South Africa are still struggling to recover from the company's oppressive, destructive, and violent legacy.
Also on March 20, 2003, Bush and Blair attack Iraq in violation of international law and UN mandates. 24 Tomahawk missiles and four 200,000-pound bunker buster bombs with pinpoint accuracy are fired at Saddam Hussein in a shock and awe attempt to decapitate Iraq leadership. Not one of them hit the intended target. As each, quote, modern war becomes more and more potent, supposedly with more and more accurate targeting abilities. Funny isn't how more civilian non-combatants are dying compared to the ratio of combatants. Like this last Gulf War, 1 million Iraqis are dead, double that amount is wounded, and over 4 million displaced. All while the United States casualties only suffered 4,000. People, the
time's come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, March 21st in 1617, it is said that Pocahontas died in Gravesend, England. Well, let's take a moment to correct Disney's portrayal of Pocahontas. Her real name was Matoaka, and she was the daughter of a Powhatan chief. She would have been about 10 at the time it is said that she rescued the Englishman John Smith. Pocahontas was later captured, married off to a man named John Rolfe, and transported to England, where she was used as propaganda to support the English colonies in Virginia. She died of disease in England at the age of 21. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Said.
Also on March 21, 1907, on Honduras, Marines land during war with Nicaragua to protect U.S. interests, like they did in 1903 and will do again in 1911, 1912, 1919, and 1982. Also on March 21, 1960, South Africa, Sharpeville massacre of 69 people murdered by police during protest of apartheid laws. Also on that date in 1965, Viola Liuzu, a civil rights worker from Michigan and mother of four, was murdered while transporting civil rights workers after the Selma to Montgomery march. Four members of the KKK would be arrested. One of them was a paid informant of the FBI. During the trial, she was described as a white nigger. This racial baiting tactic worked, for all four would eventually be found not guilty of her killing. Last in the state in 1985, South Africa again. During her funeral march of the three killed in Sharpsville Memorial Demo, South African police killed 19 more innocent people. This week in Radical History for March 22nd, I only have a couple items. 1905 in France, the trial of Alexandre Jacob and his gang began on March 8th, concludes in a guilty verdict. Jacob was a burglar member of the Anarchist Workers of the Night gang, credited with 150 burglaries. The gang was formed with his companion Rose Roux, his mother Marie Berthieu, and others. For 3 years during their spree, they methodically planned their jobs based on railroad networks and schedules, targeting rich people's homes, hotels, castles, and churches. Not for personal gain, but with the intent to attack the powerful and rich while creating a forum for disruption of the social world. He'd receive life imprisonment and other members between 5 and 20 years. Lastly, in 1972, Congress approves the Equal Rights Amendment, the ERA, which has not ratified enough states to ever become constitutional federal law.
They are picking up pieces of their son's skulls in Baghdad. Private forces face no consequences. Private contractors cannot be prosecuted. Puppet governments sponsored by Blackwater, sponsored by Black Gold, shield the company from public scrutiny. Reputations cannot be bothered by trivialities such as fathers picking up skulls on Baghdad roadsides. Booming security industry, business of human slaughterhouses. All takers get contracts in the privatization of war. What employment opportunities exist for 100,000 trained murderers?
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced from the mobile, underground, aerial, and aqua-capable fortress of Glee Glee Studios. I'd like to thank the Radio Roots crew from WBAI in New York, whose audio I've molested for this show. Since this is the anniversary of the Iraq Insanity, also known as Bush's, no, that's America's Iraq War, I leave this musical treat, Mission Accomplished, by Holy, 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 who is on tour East Coast later this month and West Coast in June. Check out Holy, Holy, Holy at their MySpace music page interface for tour information. Thanks for tuning to this week's Little Audio Missive. And until next week's show, I am always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon. Again, here is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Hotels and surreal palaces populate the roadsides. The country courses with so many blood-red rivers. We tear it down, rebuild it for a profit. We tear it down, rebuild it for a profit. Outsourcing murder, the heart of darkness is black as oil. I do not want to hear about it. I do not want to know about it. I do not want to see it on the news at exactly 6 o'clock.
8-degree arc. I can see roughly half the buildings on the skyline seem to be in flames. Really, target has been hit repeatedly. Another white flash in the distance there.
Self-appointed rulers control every aspect of every life.
Anti-war activists are marching in major cities around the globe today. Huge crowds demonstrated in South Africa, South Korea, Australia, Malaysia, Syria, Thailand, and in cities across Europe.
Security of the United States rests on the hope we can provide to the rest of the world.
Desire and no intention to impose our form of government on anyone else.
I'm used to the idea of dying. But I have no desire to die for the likes of you.